What is next for the far-right extreme groups who showed up in support of President Trump in the attack on the Capitol? Fear of more violence at state capitals led to lockdowns, but that didn't surface. And analysts caution that the extreme right still poses a complex and evolving threat. NPR's national security correspondent Hannah Alam joins us now. Welcome.
Hi there.
This is your beat. You cover extremism. You spent the weekend reporting from Richmond, Virginia, a city that was on high alert, especially around the state capitol. So how'd that go first?
That's right. Well, this was Virginia's lobby day. It's a big day for the state's gun rights lobbyists in particular. And last year, 20,000 Second Amendment supporters flooded into Richmond. This year, the turnout plummeted because of the security situation on top of pandemic restrictions. So what ended up happening was the more mainstream gun rights activists organized caravans, but they couldn't really meet up because of all the blocked roads. So pretty much the only ones who were near the Capitol were members of various hard right factions, the Proud Boys, some militia groups, the so-called Boogaloo Boys. There were also a handful of members from militant black gun clubs, but all of these groups showed up in very small numbers. In fact, they were outnumbered by journalists, but they were heavily armed in defiance of a local ordinance banning weapons in that area. And they bragged about it, talking openly of instigating violence. For example, this is Virginia Boogaloo Boy Mike Dunn.
The only answer to our problem, the only answer to this governmental infringement is armed revolt. And I'm proudly guilty of sedition.
Oh, proudly guilty of sedition. And armed, as you said, in spite of a ban. So what happened? Was he arrested?
Right. Well, perhaps you're thinking, surely not 2 weeks after the Capitol attack, the authorities moved in on guys with long guns publicly calling for the violent overthrow of the government. But no, the authorities stood by and watched. And I've seen them do this before in Richmond. It seems to be a strategy of sort of letting them blow off steam rather than risking an escalation by detaining them. But we should note that that's a restraint we don't typically see extended to, say, black and or Muslim demonstrators, whether they're armed or not.
So pull back for us, Hannah. What is what you saw in Richmond? Tell us about where the right-wing extremist threat is heading.
Well, I think the small turnout we saw not only in Richmond but at other state capitals only underscores how the more established, the more organized groups are keeping a low profile right now. They're under a lot of scrutiny, especially if they had a presence at the Capitol. And leaders of various factions say they're thinking long term. They're not in a rush to pop back up right now. Some call this weekend's events a trap by the feds to lure them out. As one told me, quote, "I don't want to be in jail when the Civil War starts." So, of course, that's a more face-saving line than, uh-oh, guys like me are under investigation. We're losing our communications platforms. We've essentially been driven underground. So, you know, domestic terrorism analysts stress that the threat isn't necessarily from just those known groups. You know, extremists are increasingly self-radicalizing through online propaganda and networks. And plus, there's still a risk of political violence with extreme elements of the MAGA crowd, concern over QAnon and other conspiracy theories radicalizing people as well.
Yeah. Well, and here we are on the eve of inauguration. Has President-elect Biden given any signals about how his administration will deal with this threat?
We've heard Biden using forceful rhetoric, you know, specifically naming the threat. He's repeatedly called the mob that stormed the Capitol domestic terrorists and white supremacists. But those are words. We don't know yet what kind of policies he might introduce. The Biden team has picked some veteran counterterrorism officials for national security posts. That's reassuring to some, an indication that maybe there will be a renewed focus on preventing and fighting homegrown extremism. At the same time, that makes some civil liberties advocates nervous. They don't want to see the same missteps of the so-called war on terror, where, you know, essentially whipping up a hysteria that's disproportionate to the threat and handing the government expanded powers that end up being abused. Those practices stigmatized ordinary Muslims and left a big stain on the country's record of civil rights and civil liberties. So I know that after those shocking scenes at the Capitol, everyone wants to know, how can we prevent this from happening again? And the answer is, we don't know yet. We don't know what kind of right-wing opposition will emerge from all of this, how violent it might be, whether the Biden administration will consider it a national security priority. But certainly the Trump era flung open a door for violent ideologies to enter the mainstream, and it's going to be very difficult to close it.
NPR's Hannah Alam leaving us with a chilling thought there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.